Tonight. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to the book of James, chapter number 4. I know we had a good time this morning. I mentioned this morning that God's called me to preach, and I'll make no apologies for that. And so you buckle your seatbelt or loosen it, whichever you need to do. But you hang in there, because we're going to preach tonight, and we're going to study the Word of God, what God's given me. And it's not always easy to preach what God puts on you, amen, to preach. But you pray for me. I'm going to try to help you. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not a mean preacher by no means. I don't believe in mean preachers. I know there's some out there. I've been in some service with some that's very mean, and you couldn't sneeze. You couldn't look over the person beside of you. You couldn't get them to go to the bathroom. I mean, you couldn't do nothing without them calling you out in front of everybody and just being cruel. I don't believe in that. Amen? I don't think that's the way it ought to be. But I do believe we're to preach the Word of God. And sometimes it's not easy to accept what God has to say. But here we go. James chapter number 4 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot attain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it." Watch this now, verse number 3. "That ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? He giveth more grace," verse number 6. "Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you." That's a promise.
Amen.
Amen. Circle that, underline if you mark in your Bibles. That's a promise of God.
Amen.
You resist that sorry rascal, he'll flee from you.
Amen.
Amen. And submit yourselves therefore to God. There's a condition. You've got to submit, amen, to God and resist. He'll flee from you. Let me say this. Let me add this in. I'm not trying to add to the Word of God, but I will promise you, he'll flee from you, but that sorry rascal will come right back. Amen. It's not a one-time deal. It's a constant battle. Amen. We war, we fight in the flesh against the devil, the world, and the things that, that's against us. But it's not a one-time deal whenever you resist him and he flees from you. You continually have to do that. Submit yourself therefore to God. Verse 7, "Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you." Amen. That's another promise. You draw nigh to him, you take a step toward him, he'll take a step towards you. Amen goes right there. Write that down in the Bible. Whoop, it goes right there. "Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands." Watch this now. "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." My message tonight is not on that verse of Scripture, but there's a whole lot of meat in that verse of Scripture. And the Bible says that it's talking to the church and to the believer to cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Oh, wait, now we're in church. Nobody sins in church. Well, you better read your Bible. Amen. We're all made out of flesh and bone. There's none righteous. No, not one. Amen. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
Everybody's a sinner. We'll be a sinner till Jesus comes and takes us home and puts us in that glorified body.
Amen.
We're all sinners, and we don't sin habitually. We're not murderers. Amen. Hopefully, prayerfully, we're not murderers. Ain't nobody got no gun loaded in there, do you? I got mine too. Anyway, moving on. But we don't habitually sin. It's not things that we do that make the headline news that makes us a sinner. Sometimes we sin with our attitude. We sin with our actions. We sin with the thing behind our two lips and our two sets of teeth we got, amen. We sin with our tongue, the things that we say. Those things, even our thought life is a sin sometimes, because the Scripture says the thought of foolishness is sin. So we're all sinners. Here the Bible says, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts." That's a work. That's something that you have to do. That's something that I have to do. It's not something that God does for us. Well, preacher, I'm saved by the grace of God. God saved me from my sins. Yes, He did. You can continue to commit sin, and you have to cleanse your hands of those things. Confess your faults unto the Lord. Because the Bible says if we confess, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we have to continually cleanse our hands, purify our hearts.
Get those things out of our heart that's hindering us, that's a hurt in our walk with the Lord, that's a hurt in our testimony with those around us. Amen. Purify your hearts. And the Bible says, ye double-minded. Again, this is not my message, but this is good preaching. Double-minded is one that's got one foot in the church, one foot in the world. That's double-minded. Can't put no confidence in a double-minded individual. Amen. You can't trust them. You can't give them any authority. You can't give them anything to do in the house of God because they got one foot in the church, one foot in the world. That's double-minded. He's dealing with those double-minded, and he tells them, to draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, purify your hearts. Be afflicted and mourn, verse number 9, and weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up.
Amen.
Speak not evil one of another. Brethren, he's talking to the church, talking to the believers, talking to those that are saved. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law, and the law of the judges, and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Verse 13, the Bible says, go to now, you that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. And thank God, I don't know what's on the morrow. Amen. That ain't a bad thing. Amen. For what is your life, the Bible says, it's even a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanisheth away. For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, what's this? Verse 17, therefore. Therefore, so you look back at all the things he just said, and considering all those things, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Amen.
If I never do good and I don't do it, that's sin. That's what the Bible said, right? Amen. One of the greatest sins, my message title tonight, one of the greatest sins, not the greatest, but one of the greatest sins that people commit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you tonight for the privilege you've given us to be in your house. I thank you, Lord, for the precious word of God. I pray, God, you'd help me illuminate my mind, guard these lips of clay, and help me, Father, to say that's pleasing and well, pleasing in your sight. Lord, tonight I pray that you touch the hearts of every individual in this place tonight. I pray, God, that you'd open up their understanding. I pray, Lord, you'd hold back all the opposing powers, all the hindrances, Lord, tonight. Help us, Father, to worship you in spirit and in truth. May your will be accomplished. May your will be done. Have your hand upon us, Lord, tonight. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Ask these things. Amen and amen. There are people in this life that their life is such a mess, say the least. It's chaotic. It's a life that I don't know how some of them even get out of bed anymore. I mean, their life is a wreck. It's a mess. And they get up every day and they try to live life. Many of them were lost without the Lord Jesus Christ. And their life is a wreck. And they depend on alcohol or a drug or some kind of narcotic or some kind of something to make them feel good in order to make it through the day. The only problem with that is, after a little while, that wears off. Then they got to have another fix. Now, I know in our day, there's a lot of other stuff, and I don't know the names of all that stuff because there's so many different drugs now that people are using. There's the meth and a bunch of other things that they're using. And it literally drives people crazy. It messes with their mind. And they get in some other world, and they do some crazy things. Was riding down the road one day in my company vehicle, and this guy came up behind me. I mean, he almost plowed right into me. And he tried to swerve over to come around me with his two cars beside him, and he couldn't get over. He about sideswiped him, and he came back and was going to pass me on the left side, and I was already in the left lane. He's trying to pass me on the left side. I said, this guy here's lost his mind. And sure enough, he finally got a place where everybody started slowing down. I speeded up, they slowed down, he got around me. He come around me, and I mean, he come around sideways, he crossed over the median, and he come back across the median, went up the curve of the hill on the other side, and he come back. I mean, he was plowing some ground. He was headed right for a bridge. I said, oh Lord, this ain't gonna be pretty. He barely missed it. He spun around on the other side, missed some cars, come up the other. Anyway, the wreck was horrendous. Totaled his vehicle, and they dragged him out of the vehicle, and his eyes was, I mean, he's everywhere. You know what was wrong with him? His own drugs.
The officer got there and he said, that dude right there is going to pay. Because he's driving under the influence. And I don't know if he got up that morning and decided to take something and it reacted to him. I don't know what happened, but I do know he was out of his mind. And we see people every day that are literally out of their mind. You'll meet somebody, you'll talk to somebody, maybe at the grocery store, at the hardware store, and you'll be talking to them. They'll literally be out of their mind. And there's so many people that's living in these days that are totally out of their mind. They don't know what they're saying. They don't know where their life's going. They don't know what purpose they have in life. They just get up every day and know if they take that pill or take that drink or whatever it is they take, that it'll help them get through the day. I want to testify to you tonight. Thank God I don't need a pill. Amen. And I've got the Lord Jesus Christ. I've got purpose in my life. And my purpose is to serve the Lord. Amen. I don't have to get up and take a pill. All I got to get up and do is say, hello, Father. Amen. Here's your son. I need you today. Would you guard me and guide me and help me along the way? Amen. But we find, though, that that's not the case with everybody. Many people in our world today are losing their mind. We live in a society that's literally lost their mind. You walk up to the bathroom door and you don't know which one to go into, you've literally lost your mind. Amen? If you wake up and look at yourself and don't know if you're male or female, you have literally lost your mind. You have a mental problem. Hey man, y'all go and say amen right there. I'm recording. It's going to be recorded when you say amen. All right? So go ahead and say it. If you don't know what you are, you have a mental issue. Amen? You don't need to go to see some shrink and get a pill to help you with that. You need the Lord. Amen. You need God. He is our Creator. Amen. Lord, help. That ain't even my message. I don't know why God's got me going that direction. But hey, listen, this people in this life, their life is so messed up. The problem is they don't have a relationship with God. Their life, a life with God, for some people who call themselves Christian, the life with God is put on. It's fake. There's no purpose to it. They do what they do to make people think that they're okay. Yeah. Hello, y'all with me? Yeah. I know y'all know people like that. Yeah. They put on a show. They'll go to church. They'll give an offering plate. Comes by, they throw a dollar in there. You know how that Baptist dollar is. Amen. They throw a dollar in. And listen, they do that to make people think that they're okay, but their life is a puddle. It's a show, and they're inside. They're miserable. Because they don't have a right relationship with God. Amen. I was thinking about those in Jeremiah chapter number 7. I started to go back that direction tonight, but there's too much meat in there. I can't pull it all out tonight, so I went this direction. Amen. With the help of the Lord, I'm going to try to pull this out. But in chapter number 7, Jeremiah is dealing with the Israelites, and that's their problem. They know there's a God. They know there's a temple. They know there's Scripture. And the scribes had wrote the Scriptures and penned those words, but yet they said they had peace. They said that the law was with them, the law of the Lord was with them, and everything was great. When it wasn't great, they was living a sinful life. Right. Worshiping other gods. Doing things that was against the will of God. We find that in our day, that people do not have a close personal relationship with God. I know I've preached this before and people look at me like I'm crazy. What are you talking about, a close personal relationship with God? It's more to being saved than just saying, Lord, save me. Amen. It's so much more than that. It's more than coming to church and making a profession of faith and get up the next day and just going about your life. You can't do that if you truly get born again. Amen? The Holy Spirit takes up residence on the inside, and now there's an inner man that's trying to help you. And then we work at that, and we cleanse our hands and purify our hearts, and I'll get to that in just a minute. Watch this. There's people that act like Christians, but they're really not Christians. I know folks like that. I know a lot of folks that go to these big mega churches, and I'm just going to go ahead and I'm not apologizing. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you I'm against the big mega churches. There's nothing wrong with a big church that's full of God. But there's a lot wrong with a big church that has no God. Amen? And that's those mega churches with the rock concerts and the dim lights, the thick smoke, loud, loud music and all that worldly stuff. Got no time for it. Amen? The majority of that is folks that are doing it. They're going for conscience sake. They're going in to try to make a show, make everybody think everything's all right. And the majority do not have a close personal relationship with God. And that has been proven in the last few months because of this COVID stuff. And I know some churches, I know individuals that attend those churches. And one gentleman told me, he said, preacher, he said, we used to run 5,000 and 6,000 people. And he said, we're lucky if 500 show up.
You know why that is? They're not scared of COVID. They don't have a close personal relationship with God.
Right.
Amen. They're looking for an excuse not to go. I'm just the opposite. I'm not looking for an excuse to get in. Amen. You want to have church tomorrow night? I don't look for an excuse. I'll be here. Amen. Every time, even so much the more is to see the day approaching. And we don't look to get out. We look to get in and get close to God and get closer to God every single day. There's a crowd that's not like that. They're fake. They're phonies. They're totally consumed of the sin of this age. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1. Let me read this to you. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. You ever wonder why God put that in there with all those other sinful characteristics? Maybe it's because it's a major sin to God to be disobedient to your parents. We'll save that till the young people get here. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. You ever met anybody like that? They despise somebody that's good. If you don't do wrong, if you don't talk ugly, if you don't tell them dirty jokes, they despise you. And they call themselves a Christian. Lord, help them. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Rather be at the racetrack and house of God. Amen. Rather be at the... Listen, ain't nothing wrong going to the race as long as it's on Saturday night. Amen. You want to lay out of the house of God to go to the racetrack, you love the racetrack more than you love God. That's called idolatry. Anything you put before God, amen, is idolatry. I'd rather go fishing than go to the house of God. You love your fishing more than you do your God. Oh my soul, we're getting in deep tonight. Traitors, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The Scripture tells us, from such turn away. Don't run with that crowd. Stay away from them. Amen. Had a gentleman tell me the other week he's going to the bar. Oh Lord, help him. He said, I'm going to go down to the bar. And he said, I'm going to get me something to eat. And I said, why in this world would you even let those words come out of your mouth? Why would you even think such a thing? Says that he's saved. Says that he loves the Lord and he loves to hear me preach and he'll come to meetings and stuff whenever I'm around where he's at. And he said, I'm going down to the bar and get me something to eat. And I said, I put him over to the side and I said, can I tell you something? Can I help you? The Scripture tells us for the believer, avoid the path of the wicked. Pass not by it, enter not in it, turn from it. Looked at me kind of funny. Well, the Bible says to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I said, you're not preaching. They're not hearing nothing you've got to say. I said, the Bible does not say go to the hell holes of the world and try to witness to them. The Bible says to live holy, righteous, amen, and live godly in this present world. You don't go to their place and try to lift them up because they will drag you down. They will pull you down. They will destroy. The Bible says from such turn away. There are even some sitting on the bar stools that have a form of godliness. They know the name Jesus. They know that there's a God. Amen. Yet they deny Him and they sit there in their sin and talk about the church and talk about the hypocrites. That's what He told me. He said, this lady I've been witnessing to, she said that she won't go to church because the church is full of hypocrites. I said, I'd rather go to church with a bunch of hypocrites and go to hell with all of them. Amen. Amen. He said, well, I never heard it put that way, preacher. Well, listen, get in the Bible, amen? We don't want to worship and try to gain in a church with a bunch of hypocritical people. We don't strive for that. We don't look for that. I'm not looking for a bunch of hypocrites to worship with. I'm looking for some people to love God. Amen. That's willing to follow the Word of God and do what God says and to cleanse our hearts, purify our hearts. None of us are perfect.
Amen. That's right.
Thank you. Amen. None of us are perfect. That word perfect in the Bible means mature. It doesn't mean without sin. It doesn't mean without reproach. Hello? Having a good time tonight, ain't we? Amen. Everybody's a sinner. Everybody has the wrong thoughts. And everybody does wrong things. And when the Holy Ghost convicts you of that, you confess it, you get that right, you repent, you turn from it, and you get close to God, amen, and cleanse your hands, purify your heart, and God will bless you for sin.
Amen.
Therefore, we're not hypocrites. Double-minded. That's a hypocrite. From such turn away. For this sort they have, or they which creep into houses, the Bible says, and
And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 6, or verse number 5. Verse number 6. For they sold they which creep in the houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Always learning something, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. I'm glad, thank God, I got a copy of the truth. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad I got a Bible. I'm glad I got a man of God that stood in front of me and preached the truth to me.
Amen.
With confidence. Amen. Make no pauses for it. Look me right in my eyeballs and you're a sinner and you're dying and going to hell. Amen. And I said to Christ as my Savior. And after that, He continued to preach to me.
Amen.
Tell me what thus saith the Word of God. Able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 13. Here's what the Bible says. Whoso despiseth the Word, in other words, does not give proper attention to. Does it matter what the Bible says? Absolutely. Should I care what God said in His Word? Absolutely. Does it matter if I want to go buy me a brand new vehicle when I can't afford it? Absolutely. It does matter. Does it matter if I want to go in debt and buy me a new house and can't afford it? My family's going to start it, therefore we're going to have a pretty place to live because I need to keep up with the Joneses. Does it matter if I do that? Absolutely. Every question in life is found, the answer is found in the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. You don't put yourself in a situation like that because that's going to put you under stress and you're pleasing your sorry rotten flesh with some of those things.
Yeah.
And the Scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Right.
And all these what? Things shall be added unto you.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says, whoso despiseth the Word, not give proper attention to. Don't pray before you do something, just react, just do it. Oh, God says don't do it, they do it anyway. I've met some people, and I've preached my heart out. I was in a youth group one time, preaching a youth meeting. I mean, I preached my heart out. God had singled out some young girls in that meeting. I mean, they was wicked as the day is. You could tell by looking at them, they was full of hell. They was full of the devil, the flesh, and the world. I mean, they was just had an intent in their heart to do wrong and to do wickedly. And God gave me a message that night to preach to them what thus saith the Word of God. And I preached my heart out and I said, you know what God says. I just told you from the Word of God that God has spoken, that the Word has been preached. You know it's wrong, but in your heart you've done made your mind up. You're going to do it anyway. They left the church house, mad as a hornet at me. Come over to the house and rolled my house. Put all kinds of signs up in my yard. They was mad as a little wet setting in. Amen. Now, I mean, they was tore up because the preacher told them the truth and they didn't want to hear that. They done made their mind that they were going to do it anyway. I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. Boy, that's a lot of people's attitude. I know it's wrong, but I do it anyway. The Scripture says, whoso despiseth the Word shall be destroyed.
Right.
Is everybody listening? Whoso despiseth the Word shall be destroyed. But he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I sort of feel like I know you a little bit. And I feel like that you probably like that latter part a whole lot better than you do that first part. Amen. I'd rather have a reward than be destroyed. Amen. I'd rather fear the Lord and fear the commandments of God and be rewarded than have it my own way and be destroyed. As many people just rather wallow in their sin. They know that it's wrong. They know what they need to do, but they'd rather wallow in their sin and miss the blessings of God than confess it and get right and turn from it and enjoy the blessings of the Lord. Now, I can't comprehend some of that myself. I really don't know how they do that. I hope I never understand that. I sat down with a person one time, come to him and asked me some questions. I sat down and talked with him and I said, here's what the Bible says. Now, listen, you can argue me all you want to when it comes to my opinion. If I give you my opinion, that's arguable. Hey man, we can argue about that if you want. I don't want to argue about it, but I'm just saying. It's not etched in stone if it's my opinion, it's what I think. But if I give you the Word of God, that's what God said. That's absolute. There ain't no arguing that. Amen? That is absolute. The Word of God does not tell you anything that is not absolute. Amen? This Bible does not contain the truth. It is the truth. Amen.
And so if I tell you what the Bible says, and you turn from that and you go your own way and you shun the Word of God and despise the Word of God, you don't pay any attention to what the Word of God says, and you go ahead and do that thing that the Bible has just told you not to do. God has spoken in His Word and said you should not do that. Stay away from that, turn from that, and you do it anyway, you're going to be destroyed. What does that mean? 1 Corinthians chapter number 5, there's a man in the church that committed adultery. And the church allowed it. It wasn't correcting, he wasn't dealing with it. And listen, Paul goes to the church and read 1 Corinthians 7 and 5. Paul tells the church, hey, listen, there's some things going on. You need to deal with that. You need to get the sin out of the church. Amen? You need to deal with that.
Yeah.
And he dealt with that and he did not repent of that. Guess what happened? God took him out. Hear me real close tonight. Listen real close. This is hard stuff. It's not mean stuff, but it's hard stuff. God will not allow an individual in the house of God to bring reproach on the church and onto God. He will not allow that. God will take that individual out. Either they repent or they'll be destroyed. That's Bible.
That's Bible.
They'll be destroyed. God won't put up with that. Amen? And these people that are living their life and going to church and got so much wickedness and listen, they're not saved most likely. They've never had a close personal relationship with the Lord. But if they have been saved, then they do know that they're doing wrong and they've made their mind that they're going to do it anyway. God will take them out of the equation.
Right.
You go back to the Old Testament, we find there where the fields was set on fire. God set their fields. You know why God set the fields on fire? To get their attention. Amen? God will get our attention. And He'll get every individual's attention. The reason why so many people do these things, this is one of the greatest sins that people commit. They do these things because of what James said, they consume it upon their own lust. What makes them happy? Their own lust. It makes them happy to do these things. From whence cometh wars and fightings among you, come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members. Now, that's talking about yourself. Your lust is warring in your members. You know that you're not supposed to do that. You know that's not right. You know that's not the will of God. The Word of God talks about that, speaks against that. But yet, you're warring on the inside because you want to consume that upon yourself. Many people's idea is not my will, but thine. That's not their idea. Their will, they want it their way and not God's way. Instead of saying, not my will, Lord, but thy will, they want to say, I want my will and forget your will. They don't necessarily look at God, I hope they don't, and say that, but that's the attitude. It's not what God wants, it's what they want. And you consume that on your own lust. Verse number 2, James chapter 4, you lust and have not. You kill and desire to have. Cannot obtain, you fight, you war, yet you have not because you ask not. And if you do ask, verse number 3, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that it may be consumed upon your own lust.
Amen.
To have a close personal relationship with God is to understand the will of God. Understand and have some knowledge of the Word of God. And if it's God's will for you to do this or that. The Bible says we ought to say, if the Lord will, we'll do this. So if it's the Lord will, we'll do that. Amen. And if it's not the Lord's will, I'm not having no part of this or that. Many people will fight against you. They'll fight against you and they'll lie to you. Y'all with me? They'll even lie to God to consume something on their lust, for their lust. They'll lie to God, they'll lie to you, they'll lie to everybody around them. It's one of the greatest sins that people commit is giving in to their lust. Oh, preacher, how do I keep from doing that? How do I keep from committing one of the greatest sins that's committed all around me and people are doing all over the place? The problem is that pride drives the lust and people choose to make poor decisions and not listen to wise counsel. That's why it's so important you have a pastor. Not just the preacher. There's a difference in a preacher and a pastor. There's many great men can preach. Amen. Y'all with me? There's many a great men that there's many much greater than I am that can preach. But not everybody can be a pastor. And there's a difference. The pastor loves the people. The pastor would open up the Word of God and sit down with you and show you what thus said the Word of God. The pastor would pray for you and pray for your family, pray for your special requests, your needs, and the pastor would spend time alone with God interceding for you and for your family. That's the difference in a pastor and a preacher. A preacher come in here, preach the Word of God, and he'll go down the road and preach the Word of God to somebody else, and he'll preach the Word of God to somebody. And I'm not throwing off on preachers. Preachers, amen, they're good men.
Amen.
And they preach, and they preach hard. But they don't carry the load that the pastor carries.
Right.
The pastor's got to make sure the light bill's paid.
Mm-hmm.
Got to make sure the air conditioning's on and everybody's happy because the air's not cold enough or not hot enough. The pastor's got a big responsibility. He carries a heavy load. And those preachers, when they come in, they preach, they don't carry the load that the pastor carries. I have a policy at my church. Whenever someone comes in, if a missionary comes in, I don't always tell them they're going to preach. I need to feel their burden whenever they come in the door. And I've helped our folks understand, if you don't feel that missionary's burden, you don't need to support them. Some people do things to make everybody or other people think that they're doing good. They do it because somebody else is doing it. Y'all listening? Y'all with me?
Yeah.
They do it because somebody else has done it. I know some kids in our youth group used to come to the altar and make professions because their buddy came up and made professions. I've seen it happen many times in youth groups. 15 or 20 on one side of the aisle would get up and come to the altar, and 15 or 20 on the other side would come because somebody knew somebody over there, and they all want to come together on the altar and everybody make professions. And every single one of them go home lost because they did it in consuming their own lust. Had no idea what they was doing.
Right.
Listen, there's people that do that, and the pastor is the one that feeds you the counsel. You sit and talk with a man of God and say, "Hey, preacher, I'm praying about this." I had a gentleman come to me and said, "Preacher, I'm praying about buying me a new truck." And I said, "Well, that's not a bad thing to have a new truck. I mean, new trucks are nice." What? No amens over that? New trucks are nice. They are nice. But have you all seen where Dodge has put out a 720 horsepower? Hallelujah. The 720 horsepower Dodge truck. Amen right there. Listen, I can't afford an $85 truck. When this gentleman came to me, he began to talk to me about buying a vehicle. He said, "Preacher, I don't want to miss the will of God." What a blessing. Amen. They cared enough about their finances and about their family and about their home that they want to talk about this vehicle. And should they or should they not make this purchase? They came to their pastor. Amen?
Amen?
And I took the Word of God and I shared with them what thus saith the Word of God.
Amen.
Your family comes first. Amen? It's given in the Scripture that we tithe and we give willingly unto the Lord. And when the Lord blesses, hallelujah, and we have the abundance in our finances and we know we can afford it, and God gives us the okay to do that, we pray and we fast and we pray and we fast and we pray and we fast and we ask God, and God says, "Okay, it's all right, you can do it. Quit asking." And then we can do that. I prayed for years before I ever bought mine. And it ain't a new one. Had 120,000 miles on it. But we prayed for years because we wanted to make sure that they didn't come and get it. Amen. Make sure they don't come and repo. You know how bad that looks on a believer? You know how bad that looks on a Christian whenever the repo truck pulls up in the yard to get something that they promised, that the born-again believer promised that they would pay for, and the repo truck pulls up to get it? You know how bad that looks on the church and how bad that looks on that individual? Amen. They consumed that on their own lust, and they were destroyed because they couldn't pay the bill. Woo, we have a good time tonight, ain't we? Pride means to live independently from God. There's a scripture in the book of Daniel chapter number 5. There's a king there. Had the palace, had everything, anything a man could want as a king, had it all. And the Bible tells the account of how this king hardened his mind with pride. He was trying to live independently of God. And God had sent messenger after messenger after messenger to try to get him to repent of his wicked ways, to turn from what he was doing. And the Scripture says, because of the hardness of his mind, pride, God judged him and he lost everything he had.
Yeah.
He lost it. I'm not talking about Job. I'm talking about another one in the book of Daniel. The king lost everything he had. He was living in the pasture with the wild beast. From the palace to being homeless. To having steak and baked potatoes. To having grass and herbs in the field and dandelions and whatever else he could find. Because he hardened his pride means that we live independently from God. But most people play the part of the Christian and they'll sit right there and tell you everything you want to hear. Because it's all hinged on their lust. And they end up being destroyed. There's people like that. They're prideful, outright rebels. And they fight and they war because they want what they want. Instead of wanting what God wants. Amen. I know for a fact that years ago, my wife and I discussed buying a vehicle. And I don't know why I'm picking on vehicles. We bought a house too. We prayed for many years about that. God gave us a beautiful place. God's paid the bill. Amen. God continues to pay the bill. Amen. That's the way God works. Amen. Amen. We trust Him. We wait on Him. We prayed for years for another vehicle, a nicer vehicle, and God allowed us to get one, and we've been able to make the payments on that. Thank God for that. But I know in my heart, if I'd have jumped the gun, if I'd have got ahead of God, I'd have been in a mess. Because I couldn't afford it. Amen. How many young people go up to the car lots and to these and they buy stuff, go to Aaron's and get that junk, that rent-a-center mess, and pay 14 times what it's worth? They consume it on their own lust and they find themselves in a mess, and they most of the time get it repossessed, they have to take it back. Yeah. What about the people that come to the house of God? And they're living their life as a fake. And they say that they're okay, they come to church for conscience sake. Makes them feel good about themselves. But they go out and they live life without God. No close personal relationship, no prayer life, no Bible reading. My soul, I don't know what I'd do if I couldn't pray every day. Amen. Amen. I'm not telling you that every day you get up you feel like shouting, running around the house and hooping and hollering and praising. You don't feel like it every day. Amen. Well, there's days whenever you don't feel like getting out of bed. Right. Amen. God gives you strength to get up, and then you've got the wonderful opportunity to spend time alone with God. That's a close personal relationship. How do I keep pride out of my life? You stay real close to God. James said, draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. You snuggle up. I don't like to change the Word of God, but I like to use different words every once in a while. James used the analogy to draw nigh to God. I like to use the analogy to snuggle up real close. Amen. I love my wife, amen. And every once in a while, we've got this big old king-sized bed, and I hate that stinking rotten thing. I have to chase her one side to the other. I mean, that thing's so big, I have to call her to get her to roll over. But anyway, used to, before we got that sorry thing, she'd snuggle up close to me at night, and we'd get ready to go to sleep. She'll snuggle up, and I love you. And I said, honey, I love you. And I knew she loved me because she snuggled up close to me. Amen. Hey, listen, God knows we love Him when we snuggle up close to Him.
Yeah.
And the Word of God says if you'll snuggle up to Him, He'll snuggle up to you.
Yes.
He'll pat you on the backside of your soul and say, it's going to be all right.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, listen, the world is going crazy. They're chaotic and they're so fearful of everything going on around them because they don't have that close personal relationship with the Lord. They've consumed all these things on their own lust, and they've left God out of the equation. They're full of pride, and their life is falling apart, and they don't know what to do. But the Christian, the believer, they're looking at us, and they're watching us. How do y'all do that? How do you get up every day and go about your day and not worry yourself sick about what's going on? Because I know who's in charge.
Amen.
Amen. I've talked to my Father already, and He's told me everything's going to be all right. Amen. He wrote a book, by the way. Told me everything's going to be all right.
Amen.
Hey, even in the back of the book, He told me how things are going to end.
Right.
And you ain't seen nothing yet. You think this is bad. You wait till the church is raptured out. Amen. You ain't seen nothing. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Thank God I know who's got tomorrow.
Amen.
If tomorrow don't come, I know where I'm going.
And
why in the world should we worry?
That's right.
Why worry when you can pray?
Right.
Now, I know that's big preaching, and we do worry, and you know those things that get to us sometimes, and wonder how this is going to turn out, wonder how that's going to turn out. But when it comes to living for the Lord, We've got to understand this close personal relationship with the Lord that makes us who we are. We don't fight. We don't war against each other.
Amen.
Can I help the church tonight? It ain't about fighting each other inside. Have mercy. There's souls on the outside that's dying and going to hell. We don't have time for that.
Right.
If you want to fight with each other, to go home and find you a blank wall somewhere and just bang your head against it to make you feel better. Amen. And don't fight against each other. There's no time for that. Time is so short. God's sending His Son very soon, and it's mentioned in the prayer room that our loved ones, Brother W.R. mentioned about our loved ones that's lost and done with it. We don't have time to fight amongst ourselves. We don't have time to worry about it. We've got to get busy. My wife and I was talking about it this morning about the church and churches and the things for God. If we're going to do anything, my soul, we've got to get busy.
Yes.
We're wasting time. Time's running out. How's your relationship with the Lord? Is it close? Are you snuggled up in there real close to Him? If He speaks, do you hear Him? When He speaks, are you listening? When's the last time He spoke to you? When's the last? I was riding down the road the other day and I was praying. And I was talking to the Lord. I do that quite often. Ride down the road. I find in my life, during the work day, it's easier for me to pray while I'm driving. Because I get up before the chickens crow. Amen. And I leave home early. I leave and it's dark and I get home and it's dark. But whenever I'm traveling, I find nobody's calling on the phone. And I have a call service. I'm part of a customer service thing. And they about 7:30, 8 o'clock, they start blowing my phone up and it rings all day long. Drives me crazy. But before that starts happening, it's a quiet time. And that's my quiet time, me and the Lord. I was riding down the road the other day just talking to Him. Thanking Him for His blessings. Thanking Him for His grace and His mercy and His holiness and His righteousness. You know, you get to pray for stuff like that and you get to think about how holy, how righteous God is.
Yeah.
And the fact that I'm a sinner, unworthy to even call on His name, but yet the righteousness of Christ has been imputed unto me. When God looks at me, He don't see my ungodliness, He don't see my wickedness, He don't see my sins, but He sees the righteousness of Christ. But if that don't make you shout, won't nothing make you shout. Amen?
Amen.
I'm just riding down the road talking to Him, and then He gives me a little thought, and I pick up my phone. I got the Bible app. I think I told you I got a Bible app on my phone, and I pulled it up, and I'm riding down the road doing like this. Probably not supposed to do that. That's probably the baddest Texan. Amen. But I was reading the Word of God and riding down, and God was helping me. Amen. Speaking, the Holy Ghost moved inside that van. We had ourselves a time. Amen. And God began to speak to me. That's a close personal relationship. Amen. I can call on Him anytime, day or night. And He hears my cry. He hears my voice. And I hear Him. I hope that your relationship with the Lord is that close. If it's not, it needs to be. Confess your sins. Confess your faults one to another. Confess your sins to the Lord. Father, forgive me. Cleanse me. Purge me from all unrighteousness. Help me, Father. I not be a hindrance to those around me. I not be a stumbling block. God, help me not to consume things on my lust. Lord, help me to have the attitude, not my will, but Thy will be done. When it comes to a passion for this church, Lord, help us as a group to understand it's not our will, but it's Thy will. God, who is the man? God, who is the one that You would have for us? Let me say this. Lord, help. The Lord knows I'm trying to quit. I'm trying to help the church, and I'm trying to quit at the same time, and these things just ain't working together. Let me help the church. When it comes to the man for the pastor position of Midway Baptist Church, don't look at how many souls he's won. That's not the characteristic of a divine call. Don't look at how big his ministry is. Don't look at how much money he has. Those things are not characteristics of a divine call. You look at the man, if he can preach the Word of God, if he'll share with you what thus saith the Word of God, if he'll preach on your sin, if he stands in this pulpit, don't preach on your sin, you got no time for that. That's not the characteristics of a divine call. Amen? Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Lord, Thy will. Thy will be done.
Amen.
Trying to help the church, trying to help each one of us. How's your relationship with the Lord? Make sure it's close. Spend time with Him. Get in there real close to Him. Just tell Him how you feel.
I think sometimes I've talked to people about praying and they said, "Preacher, I never pray for myself." First mistake. First mistake. Not praying for yourself. Mistake number one. If anybody needs prayer, I need prayer. If anybody knows how to pray for me, I know how to pray for me. Hey man, you ought to pray for yourself. But I've had people say, "Preacher, I don't pray for myself. I try to pray for everybody else." Well, there may be something in your life that you know I've asked God to show you, and you're not getting through to God because there's something in your life that's hindered your prayers.
Right.
God will not answer prayers of the sinner. If they're lost and undone without God, the sinner's prayer of repentance He'll answer. But the born-again believer that's got iniquity in their heart, God will not hear those prayers. Why is God not speaking to me? Maybe you should ask Him. Close, personal relationship. Do you want to know? I want to know. Father, what is it that's in my life? Please show me. I might not like it, but I need to know it. Amen? Don't consume things on your own lust. Study that verse of Scripture. Study James chapter number 4. Church, pull together. Work together. Pray together. Plead with God together. And whenever you're separate at home, find a place, a secret place, get along with God. Snuggle up real close to Him. Say, "God, we need You more than we need anything else." Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, tonight for the wonderful privilege You've given us to be in Your house.